Kids will never know how good they have it these days. We had to fight for our right.
That's right. We had to throw punches to party back in our day. We're having all kinds of fun. No punches are being thrown here in the studio today. Final week of the high school football season. Final night of the high school football regular season tonight. Three games coming your way. Our coverage begins at 5 o'clock with the Center for Orthopedics Football Forecast Show. It'll be Matt Douglas and I talking to all the area high school football coaches, previewing all of tonight's action. Well, there's lots of football action going on this weekend, and here to help us break all of it down from a handicapping perspective, it's Adam Burke with BangTheBook.com and Bang the Book Radio. Adam, happy Friday to you, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing well, buddy. How you doing?
So far, so good. And boy, it seems like in the fall, there's never a shortage of topics. I mean, there's all kinds of great stuff to take a look at this weekend. But we will begin with the college football schedule tomorrow. And I guess we could start with the world's largest outdoor cocktail. Oops, sorry. They don't want us to call it that anymore.
Can't do that.
Yeah, sorry. So we've got Georgia taking on Florida tomorrow. And I know you had detailed this a little bit earlier today, but, you know, a lot of one-sided Georgia money, that's kind of slowed down. You surprised that we've yet to see a whole lot in the way of Florida buyback from respected money as well?
Yeah, I was surprised here up until this afternoon when it finally came back in. So, you know, we sort of expected this. I mean, usually when you see a line move of 3 points like we saw in this game up from 3.5 to 6.5, when you see one of those this late in the season, there's going to be some buyback on that one, and there wound up being some Florida buyback here this morning. Now some places down to 5.5 with this number, and I think that's probably going to be a pretty good number because Florida's getting the public money. Georgia already got the sharp money earlier on in the week. I don't see too much more movement coming from this game. I happen to like the under in it personally. I think it's going to be a low-scoring game with a couple of offenses that don't light up the scoreboard, but obviously one of the marquee games of the weekend here, and going to get a lot of money before kickoff.
Do you think the line is going to move much more? Because you detailed earlier today that you think this could get down to 5.5 by kick time tomorrow.
Yeah, it's down to 5.5 for the most part out there in the market. So I don't think it's going to move too much. Maybe we get some books down to Florida +5, something like that. But I think 5.5 is a pretty good number now for this game.
Well, taking a look at another game with some intrigue, USC has offered some intrigue for a wide variety of different reasons, but they're taking on Oregon. USC money, as you detailed, just continuing to come in on this one. But you think we're getting to a point where Oregon may end up having at least a little bit of value? And if so, how much?
Yeah, I mean, I think at this point in time, we see 1.5 out there in the marketplace now with Oregon still the favorite. A lot of -4s still out there. I think if we start to get down into the -3 range, money is going to come back in on Oregon. You've got some people that grabbed USC earlier in the week at +7, +6.5. So this is a line that, again, you know, like I talked about, when you see 3-point line moves, you do tend to get some buyback later on in the week. This will probably be one of those games, especially because there are a lot of people out there that get very, very scared when they're on a side that everybody is betting. And so far this week, everybody has bet USC. I fell into that trap last week. Everybody bet on Carolina against the 49ers, and the 49ers just completely boat raced them in that game. So I think we may see some buyback here with people just thinking, you know, they're either going to play against what they got earlier in the week or just, you know, expect the mass populace of people on USC to be wrong.
One more thing before we move into the NFL slate here in just a moment. I mean, this is one of those weeks in college football. There's some decent matchups for sure, but I feel like in recent weeks we've had some better ones. Are there any other matchups out there that really kind of stand out to you from a handicapping perspective outside of the two we discussed with Florida and Georgia and USC and Oregon?
I think Akron and Bowling Green is actually a really interesting game, and obviously some local flair with that one, but what's most interesting to me is I actually have Bowling Green in my power ratings about a 9-point favorite. This line was 6, 6.5 early in the week. Now it's down to as low as 4.5, and I'm pretty surprised to see money coming in on the Akron Zips. These are two of the three worst teams in the country according to my power ratings, but I thought money would come in on Bowling Green here because they did have that win over Toledo. They've at least shown some life this year. Akron has been awful. They haven't covered a spread this year. They haven't covered the spread the first half or the second half of any of their games this season. Looks like the market thinks this might be the week for them. I'm skeptical, but yeah, I mean, it's not a marquee game by any means, but anytime you get two really bad teams coming together and you see line movement, it's pretty interesting.
Hey, before we jump off of the college football, I want to get your thoughts on Kansas State. Is this team becoming for real? They were quiet beginning of the season. Last week, the victory over Oklahoma. If you're looking to put money on college games, is this a team you may want to pay attention to down the line?
Down the line, I'm not sure. This week, I like Kansas a little bit here. This is a number that was 6.5 down to 4.5. It's such a tough spot for Kansas State coming off of, you know, their biggest win in probably 20 years for that program. And Kansas actually looks competent, finally, with Les Miles. So I do like Kansas a little bit this weekend, but I think going forward, you've got a very good first-year head coach there in Chris Klieman. He's obviously moving this program in the right direction. So it wouldn't shock me if they stepped up to the plate and played really well against one of the best teams in their conference again later on in the year.
Adam Burke with BangTheBook.com and Bang the Book Radio joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. All right, we'll take a look at Sunday. Another interesting slate in the NFL. Browns right now are giving 4 up in Mile High, or whatever they're calling it these days. You mentioned, though, that you could see that coming down just a little bit. Why is that?
Yeah, I think right now this line may be a little bit of an overreaction here. In fact, at some sports books out there, it's even as high as 4.5 now. Some of them still dug in at 3.5. Most of them sitting there at 4, as you mentioned. I just think this is one of those instances where somebody's going to come back in on this game before kickoff and say that the adjustment between Joe Flacco and any backup quarterback just can't be that big. You know, the Browns have been a very popular public team. They were one of the most bet teams to win the Super Bowl. Obviously, that's not going to happen here this year. But the public still likes Cleveland. And I think there are going to be some segments of the sharp betting market that say, you know what, I'm going to take my chances here on this very solid defensive team at home in the altitude. I bet this one closes 3.5 with maybe some threes out there by Sunday.
Interesting. Now, you, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong here, you mentioned that Flacco being taken out of the equation because of the injury and Brandon Allen taking his place, that was a 4-point swing. Is that right?
Yeah, more or less. It was one of those situations where Denver was about a 1.5-point favorite. Line swung across over to Cleveland -3. You don't really count 0 as a number here because no NFL game in Vegas is going to close pick'em. So it was about a 4-point adjustment to Flacco, and you know, now the market's continuing to push that number up. So I think that may be a little bit too much, but you know, hey, we'll see. Denver's a very tough team to back, especially because Brandon Allen's never thrown a regular season pass.
Yeah, and look, that can be a good thing and a bad thing because there's really no proverbial book on this guy just yet, so I think nobody really knows what to expect. Taking a look at another game on Sunday, and this one certainly has some local flair as well because it's a team that involves, well, a team the Browns are chasing right now in this Patriots-Ravens game. Any explanation for the sharp money knocking the total down to 45 for this Patriots-Ravens matchup?
Yeah, I think this is one of those. Yeah, there are a few different angles here. First of all, Bill Belichick is phenomenal against first- and second-year quarterbacks. In fact, he's 69% against the spread against second-year quarterbacks in his coaching career. So not even just with New England, goes back to his time with the Browns, goes way back. So Belichick is very, very good against young quarterbacks. Second, you've got Baltimore coming off of a bye. They should be prepped. They should be ready to go. And New England's offense, for as great as the defense has been, especially in terms of generating turnovers, New England's offense is very pedestrian. They're middle of the pack in a lot of different categories here this year. So I think the expectation here is that, you know, Baltimore takes care of the football, and they should with the style of football that they play. New England's going to have to drive the field, and this could be a field position type of game here. So I think that the expectation is that, you know, Baltimore runs the football effectively, controls some clock, and that New England's offense just hasn't been all that great this year, especially with some of the advantageous, you know, positions their defense has put them in. So I completely agree with this move down. And as far as the side goes, New England's a 3-point favorite out there. There's been sharp money going both ways in this game. Really good two-way action. Sunday night game, so it's going to be the most bet game of the week. This is going to be a big-time game for Vegas and all the other sports books that are out there.
Absolutely. Well, NFL, something we could certainly discuss all day long, but we will shift gears now and talk about the NBA. Boy, Cavaliers out to a nice start this season. But are there any other NBA games out there that are worth more than just a look for tonight?
Yeah, I think there are a few. I mean, you got 8 games here tonight. You actually have a lot of games on Saturday because they didn't play too many games in the middle of the week this week, a very light schedule on Halloween. You know, a couple of games I previewed over at bangthebook.com here today. I wrote about the matchup between Houston and Brooklyn, and I also wrote about the Lakers and the Dallas game. And between those two games, I think it's really interesting that you look at what's going on here with the Lakers. They're playing their first game away from the Staples Center for this season. They did play a road game, quote-unquote, on opening night against the Clippers, but obviously those two teams just share a building. So first time away from L.A. here, a little bit of sharp money on Dallas. I think the Mavericks are kind of an interesting look here tonight, just with a little bit of a change of scenery for the Lakers, a different shooting backdrop, travel, hotel rooms, all that type of stuff. And then one other one here, I think Sacramento is a pretty live dog tonight. They're getting 4.5 points, hosting the Utah Jazz. The Jazz just played the Clippers on Wednesday, and then they play the Clippers again this weekend. So really tough spot to be focused to play against an inferior team. Sacramento could come away with the outright upset tonight.
Good stuff. Well, before we close out here, Adam, any interest in discussing these Frankie Lindor rumors that popped up a little bit earlier this week? It feels like we're getting into baseball's silly season. This used to be the hot stove, but the way baseball has trended over the last couple of years, it's been more like the cold stove, for lack of a better term. But I'm not sure how much you're buying some of these rumors that are out there involving the Tribe's all-star shortstop.
Well, we're going to hear it all offseason, and you know what? I mean, it's justified to hear all these rumors, you know, because they're not going to pay Francisco Lindor. As painful as that is to say, as hard as it's going to be for this team to move on from a PR standpoint, not being able to keep him around. Look, it's not even just coming up with the $350 or $400 million that he's going to want. It's that he's going to command at least 20% of the team's yearly payroll if he gets, you know, what he's worth from the Cleveland Indians. That's the problem. It's prohibitive for them to fill out the rest of the roster. So they should explore every trade possibility, listen to every trade offer. Doesn't mean they have to take any of them. Just means that they should listen to all of them. And I said this on Twitter. You ask for the sun, the moon, and the stars. And if you don't get all three of those here this offseason, you keep him. If you do, well, maybe you really make that serious decision and actually trade him and maximize his value with 2 years left. If you don't, then you've got next offseason to try it too. So I think that, you know, a lot of these rumors are, you know, going to be clickbaity in nature, but I guarantee you they're listening to every offer that comes across their desks, and realistically speaking, they should.
This is something I'm sure we're probably going to talk about again because, as you stated, these rumors aren't going away anytime soon. Adam, thank you for the time as always, my friend. Have a great weekend, and we'll do this again next week.
Same to you guys. Take care.
Thanks, Adam. Again, that's Adam Burke with BangTheBook.com and Bang the Book Radio joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon.